No problem.
Naresh. So Naresh is the CEO of Krish Media and Marketing. He's collaborated with CNN Radio, JP Morgan Chase, and the Houston Rockets. He's launched successful online radio networks, managed groundbreaking retail platforms, and authored Podcastnomics, the book of podcasting, to make your millions. Featured in USA Today and Bloomberg, Naresh's academic prowess from Syracuse University and Duke University's Fuqua School of Business fuels his diverse expertise in journalism, finance, and management. He's committed to community service and also holds a first degree black belt in Taekwondo. And I had to leave a whole bunch of things out. So something I noticed here, Naresh, is that you've given up the corporate world and much of your belongings to live a nomadic life of minimalism while trying to grow your business. So when did you decide you're not going to go into corporate and focus on take your side hustles to the next level?
By the time I got later in high school, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I didn't really know what that meant, how to start a business. I took a bunch. I have, as you brought up earlier, degrees, like I think 4 different degrees in business related fields, from finance to accounting to management and business. And despite all that, I knew, okay, I want to start my own business. I want to work for myself, but I didn't know how. And what got my foot in the door was when I worked full time. So I first started my career working, getting good experience at companies that you mentioned earlier in my bio. When I got that experience, especially at one company that was a very entrepreneurial, or you can call it intrapreneurial job, intrapreneur meaning you work for a company, but it's an entrepreneurial type of job within a company. I had an intrapreneurial job starting up a new division for this medium-sized business and running it. That gave me the necessary confidence at the end of the day, not even the experience, but the confidence to know that I could go out and start my own business. Now, that partially answers your question. Another variation of that question would be, why did I want to start my own business? And why did I want to become an entrepreneur? How did I even get that inkling in later in high school? It was not my family. I don't come from a family of business owners. I don't come from a family of entrepreneurs. Although the irony is, all 4 members of my immediate family ended up starting their business at some point, not some large corporation, but at some point they ended up starting something. So with that being said, that was not the influence, because I was always told to do well in school, get a job, and work that job forever. But I took a course in early high school that was based off the television show The Apprentice, which Donald Trump hosted. And through that course, I got to participate in many business-related tasks. I learned a lot about different fields of business, why business is important, especially sales. And I also read the book Art of the Deal and Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad as a result of this course. So those 2 books alone, if you were to ask me, what 2 books would you recommend to our listeners? I would say you start with Art of the Deal and with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I can list 3 or 4 other books as well if we have time, but that's how I got started, with those 2 books, which are 2 classic books to read, just general books on cash flow, on finance, on business, on negotiation. So after that course, that's when I was like, whoa, I think I know what I want to do with, at least I have a general feeling of what I want to do with my life.
Well, I think you've got the basics of business down there. So I think listening to Donald Trump, obviously, great idea. Secondly, Kiyosaki, also some fantastic financial advice there. But I think when you talk about cash flow, that's something that people, when they're starting out new businesses, completely mess up. And it's something that they only realize after a couple of failures, or when debtors don't pay, that they should have paid more attention in accounting class. So
when I read, I'll say this, when I read, I was only 16 years old when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I understood maybe 10 to 15% of the book. I had no idea what the heck all these charts and numbers and debt and mortgages and cash flow. I didn't, because they don't teach any of this, at least in the United States. They don't teach any of this in school. So I still tried to read as much as I could and read the parts that were more anecdotal and story-based. So the sections about he had his real dad who told him to go to school and get good grades and work a job, and his real dad, that's what his dad did, and he had a PhD, and he was struggling financially his entire life, and struggled to save for retirement and struggled to pay for college tuition and this and that. But then he had his rich dad, who was a completely separate dad. I don't even know if this rich dad exists or if it was some, I think he told the truth that it was just a made up imaginary friend, but it was a great made up imaginary rich dad who didn't have the degrees and who didn't get the good SAT scores, who did go to college, but they understood these basic concepts of cash flow, of business, of debt, of real estate. And so the story, the anecdotal part of the book is what I liked a lot. And then as I got older and I went through my business courses and I went through my master's degree, business, finance, accounting courses, and then I worked on Wall Street, I worked for financial media, financial publishing. It wasn't until I legitimately started my own business, and when I was in the thick of that business, about 10 years after reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad, then I was like, oh, that's what he meant by all those numbers and graphs and charts. And now I get it. And I apply it today because I'm a real estate investor as well.
So the anecdotes, obviously, very important. And I guess that's why podcasts are so useful. It's not a book. It's talking about people's stories and experience. And talking about podcasts, you got on that bus quite early, because I see in 2014, you wrote your one of your first books, which is Podcastonomics, the book of podcasting, How to Make Your Million. So you were quite early in the podcast field. So you probably missed out. You were too early to become a Joe Rogan. But we're, you know, obviously had the had the right idea. Talk to us a little bit about what folks can expect from that book. And I suppose what all podcasters ask, how do you monetize a podcast?
Well, a couple of things there. First off is answer the question of who is this guy and why is he talking about podcasts? You brought up in my bio earlier that I do have a background in media and journalism. That's also public communications, broadcast, and digital journalism. I have formal training degrees in those fields, in addition to what I brought up earlier. So podcasting, when I was going through the radio, so I really worked heavily in radio with CNN Radio, Clear Channel Communications. As radio was making, not the full transition, because radio is still around, but as radio started converging with online media around the financial crisis time, or really post-financial crisis, so we're going to date this as 2009, 2010, 2011, podcasting, that's when it started coming up. That wasn't the inflection point, because the inflection point actually happened to be the year that my book Podcastonomics came out in 2014. That was an inflection point because podcasting went mainstream. People, the iPhone was ubiquitous. The podcast app was transcribed onto the hard-coded onto all iOS devices from iPads to iPhones. So it came with that podcast app. And people first started hearing about podcasts in 2014 because of one podcast that went mainstream called Serial. Hollywood started getting into it, investing in podcast content, venture capital. So 2014 was the inflection point, but I got started actually in 2008 when I was working at a radio station. And I said, look, there needs to be a way for people to listen to your stuff on demand or whenever they want. They can't just set an alarm and say, oh, I need to listen to this show or this personality at this time every day. People are too busy for that. And the internet's taken over. And again, this was before even the iPhone. So I started uploading audio segments onto that radio station server. I was editing the audio, making it better, because live is live, but after live, you can edit it down and put only the good stuff up. So that's what I was doing as a podcast producer, editing and uploading onto the servers. So in 2011, I actually added that experience onto my LinkedIn account back when LinkedIn was a real, tangible, useful platform. It's not today. We can talk about that later. But I just updated my resume or whatever on LinkedIn, and then someone found me. A company found me on LinkedIn because they wanted to delve into podcasts in 2011, and they hired me. Went through an interview, went through a 8 to 10 month process of not maybe 8 month process of launching their podcast, of consulting for it, monetizing it, and then I took over. Graduated. I was still in graduate school. Graduated. Took over that project full time. Moved to Maryland, and the rest is kind of history. I ran that podcasting division. It's grown ever since to be quite big. Was probably the most profitable podcasting venture at the time. So did that in 2011, 2012, 2013, and then came out with Podcastnomics in 2014.
Okay, so you were there right from the inception of podcasts. So in the primal days of podcasting. Well, I suppose in that book, the points that you made in that book, have you obviously updated it from 2014? Is there a updated version?
There's not. I have not come out with a part two yet. I'm actually in the process of coming out with a few other works in between. I think I have 4 in the pipeline right now. So maybe sometime later I'll come out with something.
You should take a page out of Philip Kotler's process of having the 40th edition new and upgraded or updated marketing textbook. I mean, that must just generate cash money for that gentleman. So,
well, I'll say this about he has a much better business model because he's able to get his book into every single business school in the world, not in the country, in the world. So if I had that type of a pull and that type of a connect to get Podcastnomics into every single business, you know that every year I'll be coming out with an updated version, even if that means changing 4 to 5 sentences in the book.
New and improved. Well, I mean, I started my marketing degree in 2000, and I bought quite a few of his books, had to buy quite a few of his textbooks during my marketing time. So that's the book writing side. So let's go into your latest book, 50 Shades of the New PR, How Millennial Marketing Will Get You Gen Y Customers. And I think that's something quite pertinent now. It's a completely different ball game, this next generation of customers. I think Facebook, I'm a bit conflicted on Facebook at the moment. Craigslist, that's not something we have internationally, so I'm going to leave that. But how to be discovered on LinkedIn, I think that's a good one. How to publish a book, obviously you are a guru in book publishing with 4 on the line, and I suppose you can discuss with us the difference between self-publishing and going through a larger publisher. Affiliate marketing, I mean, obviously something that is quite pertinent, and folks are looking at generating revenue through affiliate marketing at the moment. An interesting one, how advertising on porn sites can grow your business cost effectively. And that's a funny one because I've had 1 or 2 chats with other affiliate marketers, and I've actually spoken at a conference which does affiliate marketing on porn sites and that. And it's a big business. It's a taboo business, but it's a business that generates significant money along with FX trading companies as well. So when you built this book, 50 Shades of Marketing, let's just first talk about the title and whipping your book into shape. Sort of, let's talk about the title and what prompted you to write this book, Naresh.
Yeah, well, you bring up, that's a lot of chapters, a lot of content, a lot of great ideas, marketing ideas. And that's why I wrote the book, 50 Shades of Marketing. We can get into 1 or 2 of those topics a little later for sure, because I have something to say about every single topic that you mentioned. I wrote the book because when I was working at that financial media company running that podcasting division, I had to become a marketer. My background was not in marketing. It was in media and in business. I did not know much about online and digital marketing, which again, we were reaching an inflection point back then from traditional marketing to online and digital marketing. So I learned a lot during my time working full time at the company. And when I went out on my own, I thought, hey, I became a pretty good marketer while I was there, and I'm starting a marketing business, and there's a lot that I have to share. And 50 Shades of Marketing, it's a book that's, I'm looking at it right now, it's more than 300 pages long. That's how much marketing material is in the book. So it's certainly a book that is thorough. It includes anything and everything you need to know about marketing. One correction I want to make is it's not my latest book, and that the book is
Okay.
actually 9 or 8.5 years old. So this is another book that when it came out, it was truly innovative. It was unique. It was copious. I mean, it's an amazing book. It's my book. But at the same time, many of these topics, like LinkedIn, for example, how to be discovered on LinkedIn, I have an entire chapter on that. And if I were to rewrite that chapter today, which we can talk about, I wouldn't even rewrite it, or I would rewrite it, but I would change it to be, look, LinkedIn used to be a big deal 10 years ago or 8 years ago when my original book came out. But today, just be on it and don't spend too much time on it. So there's a lot of stuff which needs updating, but it's good to talk about it here on this podcast, because then your question might be, why isn't, 8 years ago you thought LinkedIn was a great platform to be on and a good platform to advertise and find jobs and find employers. Well, today LinkedIn is spammy. It's nonstop spam, which was not the case 10 years ago. It's huge now, which was not the case 10 years ago. There was a small little community of people who were actually talking to each other and finding leads, and it was a good lead generator. I mean, I must have gotten at least 20 job interviews from LinkedIn when I got started on it, 15, 16, 17, 2008 is when I got started. So that was almost 20 years ago when I got started on LinkedIn, and there was tremendous value. Like I said, most of the big employers now, both most not big employers, but the big decision makers, the bosses, they don't even use it much anymore. The recruiters do, but the others don't use it much because it's just so darn spammy. And on top of that, we hear this term fake news a lot. And you brought up earlier, you're not a big fan of Facebook or Facebook advertising. We could talk about that later too. I would update that chapter that I have in my book. But LinkedIn also, I think, is even faker than X and Facebook and all these other TikTok and all these other social media platforms. I don't think I've seen a single real active LinkedIn profile that was actually 100% true or real. It's the amount of hyperbole or just outright lies on LinkedIn profiles. It's actually laughable in my opinion. I haven't updated my LinkedIn, I think, in 9 years, 8 or 9 years now. Yeah, probably 8 or 9 years. I haven't really up. Maybe I've changed a few words here or there, but I haven't updated it largely because it doesn't carry the value that it once carried. So,
A couple of things that is increasing as well. So I think every third person I see is a visionary marketer, visionary leader. So we've got, obviously, we're in a very lucky space in humanity with so many visionary people. And obviously, you didn't get my congratulations and my happy birthday messages on LinkedIn either. I mean, I love those.
That's what I
But
mean by
anyway,
spam. Yeah, that's what I mean by spam. And now they even write the messages for you. You don't even have to write it. It's just you click which one you want to send the person, and you're getting all the.
I think the business communication space is ripe for a competitor to to LinkedIn, because as you mentioned, the amount of job interviews and that I used to get in the past off LinkedIn has dropped off significantly. It's dropped off as much as my hair has dropped off. So, let's talk about what you're up to at the moment. So you say you've got another book. I didn't see that, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would have dropped it.
Well, I haven't shared it
here in my notes.
I don't share it publicly, but I'm working on several books. So since 50 Shades of Marketing, I came out with, you actually mentioned the two books that I came out with since 50 Shades of Marketing, because I took the chapters in 50 Shades of Marketing, the two longest chapters, and turned them, drilled in on those and turned them into books. And they actually ended up selling better than 50 Shades of Marketing. So my other
I can see why, because the 50 Shades of Marketing, there's so much content there.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a Hillary Clinton campaign trying to be all things to all people, right? So narrowing
That's
it down.
Barack Obama, yeah. But with that being said, the new PR, I have a chapter in 50 Shades of Marketing called The New PR. Well, I came out with a book a year after 50 Shades of Marketing, called The New PR, 21st Century Public Relations. So that book sold really well. And this is an interesting, because you said you wanted to talk a little bit about book publishing. Well, the next book that came out after The New PR was called From Nobody to Best-Selling Author. And it is all about book publishing. It's all about writing, how to write, publish, and market your book from soup to nuts. So I took that chapter, expanded on it, create another book. And the interesting point that you just brought up is, and I was surprised, the shorter the book, the better it sells. Now, you don't want something so short. I mean, you don't want like an article length, but my 50 to like less than 100 page books, Podcastnomics, that was less than 100 pages. And that's my best-selling book of all time. The New PR and From Nobody to Best-Selling Author, those were all less than 100 pages, and they sold incredibly well compared to 50 Shades of Marketing, which I thought was my best work. I thought it was my most thorough, best work, more than 300 pages, blah, blah, blah. And it didn't sell as well as these shorter books. And I go through in From Nobody to Best-Selling Author, traditional publishers need a book to be long enough so that the book has a spine, because when a book has a spine, then they can put it on a shelf. They put it on the shelf, people walk into the bookstore and they're able to see the book. So that was the basic requirement, but the game has changed so much today. Like I just mentioned, it's actually the shorter, the better. So your sweet spot is around 50 pages. That's the sweet spot. Surprisingly, a lot of people don't know that, and they don't even bother writing their inner book because they say, "Oh, I can't write 300 pages or 200 pages. No publisher is going to look at me." So my book, From Nobody to Best-Selling Author, goes into those details.
So quite a lot of content there. Yeah, I was looking at the chapters and thinking each of these are literally a book. So that was your starting point. You've got your 20 pages each on that, and you can take it from there. So what's next for Naresh? So as we're closing off, so what's keeping you busy at the moment? You spoke about property investment and so on. So what is next for Naresh?
I'm still running my business, Krish Media and Marketing. It's a full service online and digital media marketing company agency. So still doing that, going pretty well, offer pretty much every service imaginable in the digital marketing space, from search engine optimization to reputation management to design work, back-end development, lead generation, email marketing, social media, copywriting, you name it. It's all, everything that's in the book, we offer as a company. So I'm still running that through Krish Media and Marketing. I worked, because I also have the financial background, most of my clients when I got started were financial businesses, and I got several real estate clients early on in 2013. And so from 2013 to 2016, while I was helping those clients on the digital marketing side, I had to learn a little bit about real estate. And so I learned it just on the back end. And I said, wow, like, how come I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and now reading, listening to the podcast for the client, reading the website, the content, helping write it. I finally understood Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I got into real estate investing. I said, this seems pretty simple. 2017, I bought my first property. I've bought 7 since then. So I'm up to 8 properties and also do a ton. Now we do a ton of real estate marketing because of my investment experience and also because of just continued real estate clients coming our way. So what's next for me? Continue running Krish Media Marketing, continue with the real estate investing, helping and working out in the real estate space. Like I mentioned earlier, I am working on my next 3 or 4 books. Some of them are not even business based. They're based on parent. I'm a stay-at-home parent as well. So stay at home in the sense of I work from home. I have my own podcast now called The Work From Home Show. And we talk a lot about, hey, how can you run a business from home while taking care of your kids? Now, I have very young kids, so the idea of taking care of your kids is still relevant because neither of my kids go to school yet. So that's an important topic, and I'm working on something with that. So there's a lot in the pipeline.
So soundproof rooms are a necessity.
Well, you lose the realness if you soundproof the rooms. So in our podcast, yeah, for example, there's no soundproofing. You'll see a kid, you know, flying over my shoulder sometimes, or hear the kid in the background. So that's an important part of parenting. And look, from not just parenting, but running a business, because my clients know how my setup is. I don't try to hide it. I say, hey, yeah, if you want to work with me, you're going to hear a kid in the background. But I discipline my kids so that they don't cry. They know, okay, daddy's working. He's in an important meeting. They don't even bother me. They'll just play by themselves. Yeah. If it's one kid, the one kid knows, hey, you know, I got to be quiet. And most of the time, clients won't even hear anything outside of a coo or some other sound.
Yeah, I think people have gotten quite inured to having children around. So that's quite nice, especially after COVID. So I've also had cats scratching on the door and kids knocking on the door and noise from other rooms. So yeah, it's just part of life now. Well, Naresh, let's get down to a call to action of where folks can find out a little bit more about you, where they can buy your book. What is the easiest way folks can get in touch with you, especially since we can't get you on LinkedIn?
Well, the first thing I want to tell people is you can go to Amazon to get my books. Today, I mentioned Podcastnomics, 50 Shades of Marketing, The New PR, From Nobody to Best-Selling Author. Those are my 4 books. So if you want any one of those books, go to NareshVissa.com, email me through there, and I'd be glad to send you a free copy of just tell me which of the 4 books you want. The other 3 books you can get on Amazon, but I'm glad to give away one of them free of charge. So go to NareshVissa.com, contact me through there if you have any questions or want a free book. Otherwise, all my books are available on Amazon.
Awesome. So I'll drop the link in the description so folks can get in touch with you and get one of those great books. I mean, all of them very useful. And I've spoken to quite a lot of folks in the publishing space, so always good to have some tips and tricks on from folks who've actually published books. So Naresh, thank you so much. It's been great chatting to you. I'm sorry we didn't hear or see any kids in this podcast. I'm in a hotel room in a place called Stavanger in Norway at the moment, which is why there's no paintings, no noise, and a big curtain behind me. So yeah, next time there'll be slightly more noise, I think.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on the show. It's been a...
Come chat with Nicholas. He'll listen to you. Then he'll laugh, and then he'll cry with you. It's all in a safe space for you to speak your truth.